Thank you, Gordon, for your words of welcome. And it's lovely to be back with you here in Lurgan Baptist today and to bring you greetings from Monkstown Baptist Church. The last time I was here, it was Kilray Baptist Church I was bringing greetings from. So things have changed in the last year. This is actually the anniversary, the first anniversary of my induction actually this weekend. So it's lovely to be sharing this time with you. Could we turn, please, in the Word of God to the book of Psalms and Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Short psalm, just 11 verses, so we'll read it all together. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to that reading of his word. Now, we're not going to dissect that psalm theme by theme or verse by verse. There's a lot of preaching material in it, not only for this morning, but as I'm sure you've picked up also in the gospel. But instead, we are going to hone in on just one phrase, and it's really a name that we find in Psalm 95. And it's found in verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And that little phrase, the Lord our Maker, is a compound name of Jehovah. And we would say Jehovah Hosenu is the Lord our Maker, or Yahweh Hoshnu, the Lord our Maker. I want us to think about that this morning. There are many compound names of the Lord in the Word of God. You'll have heard of some of them, I'm sure. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Ezer, the Lord our help. Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord our sanctifier. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But I want us to think today of Jehovah Hosenu, Yahweh Hoshnu, and that is the Lord our Maker. I was encouraged that our opening hymn contained some of the names of Jesus, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star. And the last of our hymns was about being stayed upon Jehovah. And it's lovely to have little nudges and confirmations that the word you've brought is indeed the word of the Lord today. So what's so special about this compound name of the Lord? Well, it encourages the people of God to look to him. He is our Maker. We aren't far into this new year of 2019. And we don't know what it will hold for us. We don't know how much of the year we will get to experience. Indeed, tomorrow morning, early, I have a funeral to conduct at Roselawn. We don't know how much of 2019 we are going to see. But isn't it good that we have one we can look to and look up to? We look around us, especially in our nation at the moment, and there's not one we could look to as we look around us. And I'm sure as we look within us, we don't have much encouragement there either, if we're honest with ourselves. But we can look up the Lord, our Maker. And I believe that as we think about this title, this name, that that's what the Lord would want us to do. He would say to you this morning, look to me, not to yourself. It's so easy when something comes our way, trouble or a trial or a test, the first thing we try to do is sort it out ourselves. Try to do it in the arm of the flesh. The Lord says, look to me. And it may just be that there's somebody here this morning and you've gone down all other avenues. And this might be the word you need. Look to me. I am your Maker. We read in the 100th Psalm, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Sometimes we forget that. Psalm 103 and verse 14. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Why is that? Because it's he who made us. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. Maybe like myself, you enjoy watching some of the competition programs that surround cookery, believe it or not. MasterChef, the professionals. I wouldn't have the nerve to do what those guys attempt and those ladies attempt in those kitchens. But one of the tests that they were set was to look at a finished meal, a meal that had been made. They weren't there when it was being constructed. They saw the finished meal, but they then had to take it apart and work out how it should be made and make it again. And that's difficult. It's all very well starting from scratch and doing something uniquely yours. But to try and pick something apart and reconstruct it is difficult because you would need the recipe from the Creator. You would need to have help from the one who created the dish in the first place. The best destination for any repair, whether it's your car or some other appliance, is the manufacturer, isn't it? Because they made it. They make the parts. They know all there is to know about it. It was their child. And whenever we think about ourselves and we think about our relationship with God and we think about how we live in this world and the things that come our way and something goes wrong, do we go to God first? And he would say to us today, look to me because I am your Maker. And why should I ask us to look to him and not look to ourselves? Well, there's absolutely no comparison between who he is and what he has done and what he can do for us and who we are and what we can do for ourselves or for one another. Remember the words of David when he was blessing the congregation of Israel. You'll read about this in 1 Chronicles 29, the end of verse 14. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. That's humbling, isn't it? Humbling when we even think of coming on the Lord's day prepared to give our offering. That all things have already come from him and we're only giving back what he has given to us. He is our Maker. And Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? That's a good question, isn't it? And then he says in Mars Hill, we read about this in Acts 17, he giveth life and breath to all. In him we live and move and have our being. And in Romans, Paul says in 11 and 36, of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, medical science has progressed so far that people think they could almost create a human being. And they like to dabble with life as it's being formed. But we have one who made us. We recognize today the Creator of all things. He is our Maker. So what would Yahweh Hoshnu want us to think about him today? He would want us to look to him because he's our Maker. What else would he want us to do as we think about that compound name? Well, I think he would be saying to us that we should yield to him. Have you yielded to God? Believer, are you wholly his? Have you yielded to him? We read these words in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, his maker. So there you have the term again. I have made the earth, created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Woe to him that striveth with his maker. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Whenever we think about that picture, it's not one that's found in isolation in the Word of God. The one of the clay in the hands of one who's greater. The potter in the clay. There we have it in Isaiah, but we also find it in a fuller way in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 18, where the prophet is told to go down to the potter's house and to observe the skill of the potter as he works on the wheels. And he wrought a work, says Jeremiah. I like the words of Jesus. Just in case there's somebody here and you think that all the work in the fellowship and the assembly and all the work in the work of the Lord in general is for somebody else, Jesus says, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. You want to be like Jesus? Work. And the potter was at work. He's working on you and me today. The very fact that you're here, you're sitting under the sound of his word, is evidence that he has an opportunity to speak to you. And in speaking, and in us listening, and in us responding spiritually, he will be working his purposes out in our lives. So Jeremiah goes, and he sees the work. And the potter would have had the large wheel and the smaller wheel. His feet would have been working on one, but the top wheel where the clay was positioned was really the one where all the focus was. But underneath, unseen, where the potter's feet were, was where the power was coming from. And it was all coming from the potter. What was seen and unseen. We can't see the power of God in this place today, but I trust we believe and we've prayed that the power of God would be here. And I trust that we might even see the evidence of the power of God having been here this morning in changing our lives and in shaping us and molding us into what he would have us to be. The potter's wheel always looks easy until you and me would have a go at it. Has any of you had a go in a potter's wheel? Who remembers the Generation Game program? Invariably, there was always a potter's wheel involved and the clay was everywhere because it looks easier than it is. And round it goes in circles, or we could even say cycles. And remember, this is God's application. He's saying, this is an illustration I'm giving you of how I work upon my people. Cycles. There are cycles in life, aren't there? We think of the seasons around us that come and go. We think of our clock and how so quickly the hands go round. And the cycle of life. We've heard George explaining about babyhood, childhood, and how it will soon move into adulthood. The cycle of life. Wonder where you are today in the cycle of life. And the potter's still working on you. With only the clay on the wheel and the power from below, it would just spin out of control. But here's the beauty of that story. The potter's hands remain on the clay until the vessel's finished. We are in his hand. That's the great story. That's the great thought that comes through that story, I should say, from Jeremiah 18. Verse 6 says it. From God, ye are in my hand. beginning of 2019. You're in the hands of who? Your Maker. And they're controlling hands. They're expert hands. They're guiding hands. They're creative hands. And those hands are in constant contact, making, molding, shaping, bringing the clay along through loving guidance. And what a picture of our Heavenly Father that is. You know, sometimes God seems remote. He seems to be a million miles away from us. But can I tell you, in the authority of His Word this morning, He hasn't taken His hand off you for 1 minute, nor will He. The Lord, our Maker. And sometimes as He's molding, He has to apply more pressure. And we don't like those times, do we? And that's for our good, because He has something finished in His mind. He has an ultimate purpose in mind for you and me. And to get there, He has to apply more pressure than at other times. And we sometimes don't like that, do we? But it's not destructive pressure when it's God. It's constructive pressure. Remember what we said earlier. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But He's creating something. And I like how we are described in other places. We're described as vessels. Know ye not, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And this treasure we have in earthen vessels, what was that? To be filled with the knowledge of who God is. And Paul takes up these same pictures that we find in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, and he employs them in Romans chapter 9, and he says there from verse 20 onwards, "Who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, even us whom he has called?" You know, the potter wasn't working with gold. He wasn't working with bronze or brass. I'm sure you've studied the tabernacle at different times here in Lurgan. It's a lovely study, isn't it? But you'll have recognized and noticed, I'm sure, that some of the items were to be made from one piece of gold, beaten out. And when we think about our Savior being represented in those items and how He took the beating and His purity, and what a contrast that is to us who are earthen vessels, who are soft, who have to be handled with care. God doesn't beat us. He works with us gently as our Maker. He remembers that we're just the dust of the ground, unpromising and lowly. You know what also makes me think when I think about the clay, and I've just mentioned it being soft and pliable. You know, we've also read in Psalm 95 about hardening. And that can happen to believers too, you know. Because sometimes through the hard knocks that we get, even within the household of faith, how easy it is to become hardened. So many people said to me going into the ministry, you have to be thick-skinned. And I know what they meant by that. But whenever I read the life of Joseph, and I think about him after all he was put through by his brothers, and eventually when he's reached the top and they come groveling to him, as was prophesied, and whenever he sees them coming in, do we find hardness in Joseph? We find him going off into a corner on more than one occasion and bursting into tears. Because in all that he went through, he retained that tenderness of heart. And sometimes we become hard to the challenges of the Word of God as believers, and they just start to wash over us. Is there a pattern that the Lord is following as He molds us and shapes us and makes us? Yes, there is. Romans 8 again, Paul says that we should be conformed to the image of Jesus. Are we like Him? As seemed good to the potter. According to Jeremiah, the potter has control of the clay, but he has a goal in mind. And that's a message for us today. The Lord, our Maker, hasn't just made us when we were born into this world. He's still working on us. His touch can be felt. His touch is real. He will never take his hand off us. I wonder how far into the process we are. I wonder how close to the finished article are we today? Or has he a lot to do on us? Yield to him. That's all the clay had to do. That's the point I'm trying to come to. The clay lay still in the hand of the potter. You know, a big problem for us today and in our own fellowship, we've been going through the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And we know in our studies that it's the will of the Spirit to produce that fruit in us. So why are not all believers showing and displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Because we resist it. We strive with our Maker. Let that not be us today. Let's yield to the work of the Spirit in our lives. So, Yahweh Hoshnu, the Lord our Maker, is saying, look to me. He's saying, yield to me. Is there something else he's saying? I believe he's saying, trust me. In Isaiah 51 and verse 12, we read this. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth? That little verse is found in a section of Isaiah called the comfort section, from chapters 40 onwards. A section that would be of particular benefit to those who had been carried away into the captivities and then would be making an attempt to return. It would only be a remnant, a real chastened, repentant remnant who would be making their way back. But they would need encouragement. I like the fact that our God is interested in a remnant. In a day when we look around us and we think of all the apostasy that there is, and we can become discouraged about that. But we have a God who's interested in a righteous remnant. And that's a word in that section. And he's saying, look, all around you there'll be all kinds of men and nations trying to get you to ally with them. Just you look to me. I am your Maker. And that chapter where we read that verse from Isaiah 51, it begins by looking back to Abraham. The context is a man who was alone. He was called alone, and he went alone at the call of God, not knowing where he was to go. He had promises, but that's all they were. But he trusted the Lord. Whenever we think about that passage in Isaiah 51, and it talks about the remnant, we find it in these words, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. And those who would be making the return would be saying, yes, that's us. We're broken. We're chastened. We're discouraged. But we're going back. Why? Because we trust our Maker. The one who set this great plan in motion. The one who called out Abraham. Who called out the people. Who called us as a nation. He has a future for us. And he still has a future for Israel today. And they would be encouraged. And the one they would be looking to was the Lord, their Maker. Whenever we think about that period of coming back into the land and the restoration of the temple and the walls and so on, we think about the work that was carried out under Zerubbabel's leadership. And in Zechariah chapter 4, we read these famous words, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." In verse 8, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, for who hath despised the day of small things?" So there, in that same context, at that same time, whenever they would be looking around them, and they would be thinking, what's the point of all of this? They would be encouraged in the day of small things. And it's all because they would be trusting Yahweh Hoshnu, the Lord, their maker. Don't focus on what's against you. Focus on who is for you, and that is our maker. So what does Yahweh Hoshnu say to us today? Look to me, yield to me, trust me. But also something else. Ask me. We read in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord the Maker, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name." So there you're getting it all in that phrase. And this is the very next statement. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee." It makes me think of another psalm in the Word of God. It's Psalm 77, which is the prayer of Asaph. Spurgeon says about that little psalm, "It has much sadness in it, but we may be sure it will end well, for it begins with prayer." Because Psalm 77 shows us that there are two ways we can understand asking God. The first way is found in the phrases, "With my voice I cried unto God," and that's repeated. "And then in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord." And that's coming to God in prayer, crying out to him in earnest, believing prayer. But then also in Psalm 77, we find another way of asking. And sadly, it was asking questions. And Asaph had lots of questions. "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased? Have his promises failed? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" All discouraging questions. Every one of those six, a discouraging question. So we can question God, in that sense asking, or we can come to him in faith and trust and belief, looking to him, yielding to him, and we can ask in faith, believing, in prayer. Do we as believers walk by faith or by sight? Well, we're not home yet, so we walk by faith. Do we live on explanations or promises? We live in promises, don't we? And that's why we read in Jeremiah 33 and 2, "Thus saith the Lord, the Maker, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee." And it goes on, "And show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." So when I think of Yahweh Hoshnu, I think of him saying to me, "Look to me. Yield to me, trust me, ask me." And finally, know me. Because although we're speaking here about phrases that are found in the Old Testament and therefore using the Hebrew, we realize that whenever we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, we discover over and over that reference is made to him being the co-creator with God. "In the beginning was the Word." There's another name for Jesus. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 and 6, "One Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things." And then in Colossians 1, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." And then it goes on to say, "Who is the image of the invisible God? For by him were all things created." All things were created by him and for him. And Hebrews 1, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And when Jesus came, what did he come to do? By his own admission, to reveal the Father. So even in Jesus, who is also our Maker, we have a revelation of the Father. And we can say today that we long, don't we, to know him more, to know him better. And in all that he does in our lives, even if it's pressure, in shaping us and molding us, and being conformed to the image of Jesus, surely we can say, I know him better now. I know him better now than I did last year. I know him better now than I did when I trusted the Lord at the beginning. I know him better now than when I was a wee child in Sunday school. And I know him better now because of the things he has brought me through. 2019. Yahweh Hoshnu would say to you, look to me, yield to me, trust me, ask me, but above all, know me. Because we're going to go one day to a place where we're not going to have to trust and yield and ask in the sense of believing prayer. But we are going to continue to know him. And it will take eternity to fully know all that God has done for us in the person of his lovely Son. And may he bless these thoughts to our hearts today, for his name's sake.